Better than bankruptcy?
The Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Lisa Napoli. General Motors isn't talking, but auto industry trades say it's true that this week the struggling automaker will announce it's closing four assembly plants in the United States. Automotive News quotes industry sources as saying the closures are supposed to help squash rumors that GM is going to file for bankruptcy. The National Highway Traffic Safety Administration is talking about tougher standards for car roofs. Gretchen Cook has more.
Only 3% of auto accidents involve rollovers, but those flips are responsible for a third of all crash fatalities. Today ends the comment period on the government's proposed new rules to make auto roofs more crush-proof in rollovers. Here's one of those comments.
It barely does anything.
That's Joan Claybrook with Public Citizen. She says automakers already meet the new standard voluntarily, and the death toll is still too high. She estimates improved safety measures would cost about $50 per vehicle, and she says the industry should pick up the tab. But the Center for Auto Safety's Dave Cole says every penny counts in the troubled industry.
The real price of cars and trucks has declined for nearly 10 years. So there really is no ability in this market environment to pass on cost increases.
If passed, the new rules could go into effect in about a year. In Washington, I'm Gretchen Cook for Marketplace.
From the road to the skies, the mid-size jet by Boeing called the Dreamliner is raking in the cash. Word today, the two leasing companies have ordered more than $4.5 billion worth of 787s. Not to be outdone at the air show in Dubai this week, Airbus just announced it sold $2 billion worth of A320s to India's Kingfisher Airlines. Today, President Bush became the first American president to visit Mongolia, the big, newly democratic country wedged between China and Russia. The nation of fewer than 3 million people is said to be nervous about its neighbors' intentions, especially about China's. Marketplace's Jocelyn Ford reports.
Mongolia depends on neighboring China for a large chunk of its trade and 40% of its foreign investment. Most of the food and household supplies sold in the capital, Ulaanbaatar, come from China. That means Beijing can lay on economic pressure when it doesn't like Mongolia's behavior, say with regards to the Dalai Lama. Peter Moreau is CEO of a major Mongolian bank.
When China cuts off the border, as it did for 2 days when the Dalai Lama visited 2 years ago, the shelves get empty in Ulaanbaatar, and they're known to do that just to get the attention of the Mongolians.
Moreau says President Bush's visit sends a message to Beijing not to bully its neighbor. The United States supports this 15-year-old democracy. And, he says, the brief visit helps draw international attention to Mongolia as a possible destination for foreign investment. In Beijing, I'm Jocelyn Ford for Marketplace.
Nip Tuck Merge, one of the top names in breast implants, Mentor, made a move to acquire fellow cosmetic surgery company Medici's Pharmaceutical. Mentor offered more than $2 billion for Medici's, which makes the stuff that plumps lips and smooths wrinkles, and Medici's rejected the offer. On Wall Street, the Dow closed up 46 points on Friday to 10,766. The Nasdaq closed up 6, and so did the S&P. This is Marketplace. Are you looking for a new job? You're not the only one. Marketplace's Brian Watt says a lot of people are trolling the help wanteds.
A few years ago, employees clung to their jobs as employers laid off their coworkers. But now many of those who got to stay are burnt out from covering for their colleagues who got the boot. According to a new study, 76% of employees are now on the hunt for a new job, and the vast majority of HR professionals are scrambling to keep them from heading for the door. Jen Jorgensen is spokesperson for the Society for Human Resource Management, which conducted the study.
Most employers at the very superficial level will just say, well, can we offer bigger salaries? And that may not always be what a company can viably offer.
Jorgensen says non-monetary incentives could include flexible work hours and more career development. In Los Angeles, I'm Brian Watt for Marketplace.
And you're listening to the Marketplace Morning Report. We're produced and distributed by American Public Media.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Mellon Financial Corporation, helping financially successful individuals and families protect and maximize their assets through the practice of wealth management. Mellon.com. And by Toyota, designing vehicles with hybrid synergy drive for fuel efficiency and low emissions. More at Toyota.com. Toyota, moving forward. Market data and news brought to you by Reuters. Reporting from around the world, every day, every hour, every second. Reuters helps you stay in the know now.
This is Marketplace. I'm Lisa Napoli. When is a deficit of $22.8 billion a good thing? When your deficit the year before totaled $23.3 billion. You'd think the Pension Benefit Guarantee Corporation would be going more in the red. It took over 120 new busted pensions this year. We asked Newsweek's Wall Street editor Alan Sloan what's going on.
What it means is the Pension Benefit Guarantee Corporation ended another fiscal year, and because of one accounting fluke, things look better than they are. If there's a $500 million change and $2.3 billion of that is due to accounting, that means that the actual situation, other than the accounting, got worse.
Yeah, the PBGC people seem to make no bones about how bad it is, and I guess they went to the Senate and were asking for more money?
They've been running around now for a long time trying to get legislation through. With the stuff that the Senate passed last week, it'll make the PBGC happy, but I think in many ways it's likely to make the situation worse.
How so?
Because what they want to do in this law is force companies with pension funds that are in deficit to put more money into their pension funds. This whole thing depends on getting more money from people who don't have it. I just, in the end, don't see how this is going to work. I really don't.
If the PBGC took over, 120 companies' pension funds last year, I still don't understand how the math adds up.
It's extremely messy. The PBGC is what they would call a leading indicator for pension problems, because when the PBGC starts running into problems, that's a sign the whole pension business is running into problems.
Why does it matter to me, except as a human being, if the PBGC did run out of dough? What are the cascading economic effects if that were to happen?
To me, there is no question the PBGC will be bailed out by the government. The problem is, for a lot of industrial workers who retired young, really take a hit when their employer croaks and the pension fund gets tossed into the PBGC, because the guarantee from the PBGC is much smaller than the pension they've been used to getting.
Right.
Every time Washington tries to, quote, reform it, what they do is make it more difficult and complicated and expensive to have a pension. Many companies look at what's happening, and if they have any option at all, they say the hell with this. And they freeze their pension plans and go on and do something else, because nobody wants the risk of running this thing or having to deal with the PBGC or having to deal with anything. To some extent, the tougher the rules and the more you enforce them, the more companies you drive out of the pension granting business. It's an extremely complicated and messy situation, and I'm glad that all I have to do is kibitz it, not fix it.
Alan Sloan is the Wall Street editor for Newsweek in Los Angeles. I'm Lisa Napoli. Enjoy your day.
American Public Media.
So here's something that's worse than Christmas shopping.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.